Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
Hey, I've really been looking forward to this message. Here's a good word for you. You're a shining star. And, you know, we have made a lot of phone calls. I think Laura has done a great job on this PowerPoint. We've made a lot of phone calls. And we were trying to get, in my opinion, one of the greatest bands that has ever graced this planet. One of my most favorite bands. If you ever to run with me, which would only be about 10 yards, you would see Earth, Wind, and Fire. You got to stand up. Don't look like a bunch of white folks, though. You're very far, yeah. When you wish upon a dream. Come on, Raylene. Not so clear, yeah. So very dear. Here's a good part. You're a shining star, no matter who you are. Shining what you see, you truly be. George is going to get, Werner's going to get going. Raylene's going to get going. Kathy's going to get going. Brian Turner's going to get going. Ah, yeah. Yeah. Carry on. Go, Brian. That's good. All right, that's good. It always looks better in my room than it does inside the church. So I was thinking about all that, this whole thing about you're a shining star. And, you know, I kind of grew up with that kind of music back in the 70s. If we're out here cleaning and mopping back when we did that here, and I always wish I had my roller skates on and do my thing. I got that mop. Like, I just really enjoy mopping, but I'm going to the Bee Gees. John Travolta still trying to stay alive, all this kind of stuff. But I was looking at that, this whole theme about you're a shining star, and picked up the words, picked up the lyrics, and you probably couldn't pick them out, but it says, when you wish upon a star, dreams will take you very far. Yeah. When you wish upon a dream, life ain't always what it seems. Oh, yeah. Once you see your light so clear in the sky, so very dear, you're a shining star. But then he goes, the shining star, lucky you. I bet you didn't get this part in there. The sinful redeeming shall be true on an adventure of the sun. Yeah. Yeah, it's always awake and it's just begun. Though I had to stir the mood, now it's now I got my own. God, I'm so white. So if you find yourself in need, why don't you listen to his words of heat? Be a child free of sin. Be someplace. Yes, I can. Words of wisdom. Yes, I can. You're a shining star. I love that thing. And you probably never would have imagined that in that little song. You're a shining star. No matter. I was just listening. I was thinking of, you know, Werner over there doing his floating dance. You're a shining star. I was thinking of you with some roller skates on, just getting your groove on. Maybe some lighted glasses or something like that. Actually, we were going to have a group of dancers come, but they all chickened out at the end. Philippians chapter 2 says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights or shine as stars in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain or labor in vain. I love what Dr. John Wilbur Chapman said. He's a famous evangelist. Once made a note of how the New Testament tells of 40 people, each suffering from the same disease, who were healed by Jesus. Of this number, 34 were either brought to Jesus by friends or Jesus was taken to them by friends. And only 6 of the 40 found their way to Jesus without assistance. He said, of the people today who find their way to Jesus, most of them find their way through a friend, because those friends are concerned about their souls. So I was thinking about, you know, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and kind of doing some flashbacks. And I can see some of you, you may not have related to that. You probably had to go further back than that, you know, so we don't have the four tops and the seasons and all these kind of people. But I was thinking about maybe there's another group back in the maybe early 80s. Some of you might have known them, called the Newsboys. And I think we have a clip from the Newsboys. Maybe you'll remember this. You remember the chorus?
Shine.
So here's the crazy words. You know, I never have been really a great Newsboys fan. They're pretty little kind of out there for me. But nonetheless, here's the crazy words in the song. It says, dull as dirt, you can't assert the kind of light that might persuade a strict dictator to retire, fire the army, teach the poor origami. And try as you might, there isn't a way to explain the kind of change that would make an Eskimo renounce fur, that would make a vegetarian barbecue hamster, unless you trace this about face to face. A certain sign. Now, it's kind of weird lyrics, but the fact is, the chorus says this. It says, shine, make them wonder what you got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine. Let it shine before all men. Let them see good works in them, and let them glorify the Lord. I love that last little part about in there, about let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I'm going to realize sometimes the method may not be what you like, but the message is always true. If the message can get in there, I don't care about the method, because there's ways in which we're going to, you know, reach people in this city. Matter of fact, tonight, we've got something really weird going on. Just last week, Sean, how many of you remember the word that Sean Bolts gave me that first night? How many of that was kind of like, duh? He came up and he says, I see networking. Most people murmured, yeah, no kidding. But he talked about networking. He talked about people who would be, you know, kind of coming back and people who were silent. And it's been crazy this week because, you know, sometimes when people give words, sometimes they're on the back burner. Other times they're ready to boil over in the pot. Sometimes you have to be, I've always felt this. Sometimes you have to become the word. Sometimes it just kind of happens. And sometimes you step into it. And this week has been like that. People who I haven't seen in 20 and 30 years have come back and said, hey, I've seen this on Facebook. You need to tell me more about it. I want to get involved. And I'm sitting back going, wow, you know, that's weird. And then Sean Gaby comes up and he says, I see an envelope that was closed. And there's something new that's coming on the horizon, and something fresh and something innovative and all this kind of stuff. And we did a teaching last Monday night. It was actually kind of goes along with this. It was called Get the Let Out. And so I did this teaching, this nationwide teaching with our business. And then on the tail end of it, I really felt that we needed to reach out just a little bit more and take this DNA and this flavor and this favor of the Lord. Remember, we always said favor follows the faithful forever. To take this DNA and get it out there. So we're trying to think of ways. How do we get this DNA out there other than putting posters around town, other than just cooking on Dundas, and other than doing stuff that we kind of normally do? We need to think of out of the box. So we came up with this call. It's called Shake the Kingdom in relation to our business. And we wanted to add biblical principles similar to what Lance Wall now had in his Seven Mountains teaching on how we have conquered a lot of different mountains in our faith, whether that be education, whether they be the church or sports. But there's still business that we need to conquer. And sometimes we think that just because we go into ministry that we're going to stop everything we do and just sit back and do church stuff. But how many know ministry goes beyond just church stuff? There's a lot of mountains that we need to conquer. And so we thought about this crazy call and Shake the Kingdom call where we wanted to add biblical principles and pray impartation and pray healing and pray salvation upon people that will be dialed into this call. And much to my surprise, the word started getting out on the internet. How many know that's a good place for it to get? The word started getting out on the internet. And I know of one girl in their team that they had, she had 100 shares and 100 people say, I'm getting on the call, I'm getting on the call. Well, to my shock, I found out that the call that you dial into can only handle 92 calls. So I had a problem already. So come tonight at 9 o'clock, Raylene's actually going to be on the call. I'm going to be on the call. There's another girl on the call. She's just a crazy wild tither. And we're going to be talking about giving the key to your breakthrough. We're going to talk about the power of your words. And we had to change the capacity of the call. So tonight, it'll hold up to 1,000 people. And from what I've been hearing around the internet, that could very well be packed already tonight at 9 o'clock. Why? Because the power of your words have the ability to change people's lives. It has the ability to shine, to make them wonder what you got, to make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. I don't think that Christianity should be a group of people looking bored. I think this should be the greatest party in town. I think people should just get to the place in our lives where they're going, wow, what is this that you got? Both the song and the passage speak of the need to see a radical change. Change that would make dictators fire their army and so on. A change that would make sinful men become blameless and evil men become harmless. A change that makes us want to shine before men. Not that people can see how wonderful we are, but how they can see God glorified in us. A change that comes with our acceptance of Jesus as our personal Lord and not just a buddy. Not just a friend. Someone who has radically changed our lives to the point that we don't even bear resemblance of the world anymore. That when people look at you, that they sit back and they go, I can tell that you've been with Jesus. Not just something that you say on the platform. How many know people who live for Jesus on Sunday and live like hell all week long? That they might say one thing on the platform or do something totally different. A radical change is where people proclaim Jesus on the pulpit and proclaim him in the public throughout the rest of the week. God is doing some exciting things. There are far too many Christians who are not shining as lights or as stars, as the NIV might put it. Statistics show that 90% of all born-again Christians have not led anybody to the Lord. And that's not what Christ had in mind when he called all of us to go into the world, to go forth and make disciples of all men. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Says, do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights and stars in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or even labored in vain. So here it is. How do we shine as stars? What's the process? Well, verse 15, Paul reveals to us how do we shine as stars. He notes three things that we need to do. He says stars are blameless, stars are harmless, and stars are children of God. So let's look at the first one really quick. He says that we are to be blameless. The Greek word that Paul uses here for blameless is ampatos, I think is how you pronounce it. And it basically means free from fault or defect. I'm going to realize if we are free from fault or defect, then we fall right in line with the scripture that says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Help me out. All things. Help me out. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, all things, not some things, all things become new. But the criteria is this. If I am in Christ. If I am in Christ, there is a divine protection that is with me. That if the devil wants to get to me, he's got to go through Jesus first. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. In other words, I am free from fault or defect. I am blameless. Blameless. Hi, Ingrid. In other words, Paul is saying that there should be no obvious fault found in us. It doesn't mean that we won't sin, but what it does mean is that we will not habitually, willfully do it. That God begins to change and God begins to do some great things inside of us. And this is what it is to live blamelessly. Blamelessly. Showing a life of good works, knowing the doctrine or the word of God, having integrity and sound speech, which is a challenge for some people sometimes. The person who lives like this will indeed shine as a star in the midst of darkness. In other words, the darker the night, the brighter the star. The darker your situation, the darker the circumstance, the brighter you shine in the midst of all of that. So sometimes you're not in a place, sometimes, you know, we're in a place where we want to, you know, rebuke the adversary. We want to rebuke the situation. And we're not knowing that sometimes God initiates and sometimes God brings things on just to really see who we are and what we got and what if what we proclaim on the outside is truly what's on the inside. The darker the night, the brighter the star. Then we look at the word harmless. In this verse, Paul uses the Greek word. It's akar something yos, whatever. It says, which in the context basically means without mixture of evil or innocent. And I was thinking about that this week, just kind of preparing this thing where it talks about blameless and then he talks about harmless. The word's only used three times in the entire New Testament. In Matthew 10 and 16, where it says, Jesus tells his disciples, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Then again, he brings it up in Romans 16, 19, when Paul says, for your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And then in verse 15 of this passage in Philippians. So from these three instances alone, we can see that the word of God denotes this, that we are to be free from any taint or suspicion of evil. And what we should do, what we should be looked for is the coming of him, not the coming of hate, but the coming of the good that comes from him, that we can demonstrate that on a regular daily basis. That we should not be accused of saying one thing and meaning another, in other words, of being two-faced. That there should be no fear of us, that we should cause harm to someone or be violent to those who oppose us. We should be, as Christ taught, harmless as doves. But how many know, man, the flesh kicks in sometimes? How many have ever had times where you just want to knock someone out? In Jesus' name. And you just want to just unleash on them and then just ask forgiveness later. We've always heard that phrase, it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. God, give me permission to knock them out and then I'll ask forgiveness later. You know, but self-control. Boy, it's easy to preach. It's hard to live sometimes, isn't it? It's very difficult at times. But how many know the closer to Jesus you are, the more distant all the accusations will be. The closer you are to him, the more distant even Satan's voice will be at times. And I say, God, I want everything that you want to pour inside of me. St. Augustine said this. He says, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. That it is not the fear and trembling that drives us away from God. It is the fear and trembling that drives us towards God. Warren Wiersbe said, God works in us before he works through us. And you don't go witnessing, you are a witness. So keep that in mind as we go out and we do our Friday night feedings, or we do our healing rooms, or whatever it is that, or the Aberdeen, you know, outreach, whatever it is that we do, we don't just go do witnessing. It's not just a program. We are a witness. We are a representation of the kingdom. We are what Pastor Carl says, a mobile tabernacle of the glory of God. I so love that phrase. I've never, ever forgotten that. I can't say as long as I live because I haven't died yet. But I'm just thinking about that. You are a mobile tabernacle of the glory of God. If there is light, there is also shadows. And have you ever felt like you were living in somebody else's shadow? Have you ever felt like someone else's light was brighter than yours? I love this whole thing about being blameless, about being harmless, and about being the children of God. But these are all prerequisites to be a shining star. But how do you position yourself and let your light shine? How do you get to the place where you say, God, I know that I'm trying to live blameless. I know that I'm trying to live harmless. I know that I'm trying to be a child of God. And I do recognize that promotion comes from the Lord. But how many realize that promotion can come from the Lord, but you have to be willing to move? I've said this quite often, that obedience always paves the way for the miraculous. It is a miraculous thing for you to be positioned so that God can use you in ways in which you've never thought possible before. But you can have a promise all you want, but if you don't step into provision, then your promise is just staying on the shelf. I could have listened to these words. There are people maybe in this church, hopefully not, but there may be some that you have a collection of words. And you're like, wow, so-and-so gave me this word, so-and-so breathed on me, so-and-so laid his hand on me. Hey, I fell in so-and-so's shadow. I've had this guy shout on me. I've had pixie dust on me. I've had gold dust on me. I had all this stuff. But for some, all it is just a collection of experiences. It's a collection of words. And for some, they can actually write a book on all their experiences. But how about somebody writing a book about you, not just your experiences? What did you do with the experiences? You know, we've had the opportunity and privilege to travel with a lot of people in 30 years. And Cheryl's dad, for one, it was like, I don't know, how long was that? Like, forever? That's it? It seemed longer than that. It was 8 years. But I was always living in dad's shadow. Have you ever lived in somebody else's shadow? Or maybe you lived in the shadow of somebody else's ministry. And people would always tell me back in the day, they say, oh, you're Norm Phillips' son-in-law. I never had a name. I'm just, oh, you're Norm Phillips' son-in-law. Yeah, Bobby. Oh, yeah, Norm Phillips' son-in-law. And after a while, I didn't despise, but I was like, dang, man, we're not going to get my own stinking identity. I'm tired of being his son-in-law. And you can cop an attitude. You can get a little thing going on with God. I'm like, come on. I never got to do much of anything. I got to sing, play the bass. I'm like, man, I don't even play the bass. I stink at it. I didn't know the difference in a quarter note and a quarter pounder. I mean, I was just horrible at music back then. But all I ever did, it seemed like anyway, all I ever did was support him. How many realize when you're in the midst of that season, that's all you ever think about is you're supporting or you're hiding under somebody else's shadow, not knowing that God is taking that time to polish you so you can shine on your own. Felt like all I did is take out the man's garbage and wash the stupid bus. I'm like, hello? It's freezing outside Regina, Saskatchewan. Ain't nothing comes from there that's not cold. It's like 20 degrees out there, and I'm washing that man's bus. I didn't wash it with a bad attitude, at least not to start. He tell me, go wash the bus. I'm like, are you smoking dope? You gotta wash that bus yourself. It's cold outside. I get out there and wash that bus. Because I realized you never get a second chance to make a first impression. I wanted to get out and I wanted to do it the best I possibly could. But I knew that if I did not serve Dad in those 8 years, that God would never trust me to do with our own. But even though I felt like I was in the midst of another star, go with me to Genesis chapter 29. Holy mackerel. We'll see if we can zip through this. Then Laban said to Jacob, because you are my relative, Should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be? Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah. The name of the younger one was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and so he said, I will serve you for 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than I should, do something, whatever I wrote here. Then I should give her to another man. Stay with me. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go to her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And so we find out through this whole situation here that somebody was living under the shadow of somebody else. The younger daughter was always living in the shadow of somebody else. And brighter stars, they are just a fact of life. Every one of us, without exception, has known what it's like to live in the glow of somebody who just seems to be able to do everything better than we can. We work with some of them. We go to school with some of them. We compete in sports against some of them. Some of them might outshine us in the academic field or just plain common sense. But we always seem to be living in the shadow of somebody else. They often outshine us intellectually, in personality, friendships, career, relationships, wealth, houses, so on and so forth. But the bottom line is that they seem to shine so brightly, and they seem to get so much attention and favor. And brighter stars are everywhere in life, which means that we're going to have to come to grips, and we're going to have to deal with it. So how do we deal with it? The real problem with the brighter star is that they seem to get all the attention. I don't know about you, but I love living out in Mount Bridges sometimes, except when we want to have real shopping. Then we have to come to London. We don't even have a real grocery store in Mount Bridges anymore. We do have a post office, but the one thing that we do have out there is darkness. Not darkness and sin, but I'm talking about the darkness where the lights of the city doesn't affect the sky. And if you were to get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, which I don't know why you would, but if you were, then you would get out there and you would see the stars just draped across the sky. And if you were to look really, really close, you'll find the brightest star in the Milky Way galaxy is the one called Sirius. It's 8.6 light years from Earth. It outshines every other star in the Milky Way, and it is located in the, I think they pronounce it Canis or C-A-N-I-S, major constellation. You can't miss it. Out of all the stars we see with the naked eye through a telescope, this one is always the brighter. And when you look up into the sky in the northern hemisphere, there it is, going to be the first star that grabs your attention. The name Sirius actually comes from this Greek word, which means scorching. But an interesting fact about this particular star, in 1844, F.W. Bessel used an analysis of its motion to determine that it also had a companion. And no one ever sees that companion, Bill, because it's always behind this one. I don't know about you, but they didn't even give the thing a name. They just called it Sirius B. Like, hello? How about Sirius Bob? Sirius Bill? Sirius Bubba? I mean, but they just give the thing Sirius B. And it's always outshine the nest, and it's always in the shadow of this great big star. The fact is that there are people like that too. And they just seem to shine brighter than everybody around them, and they seem to always get the attention. Do you know people like that? They are the ones that whose light can't be hid, is pierced through the darkness. It doesn't matter how dark it is, this light can be seen everywhere. That's why I coined the phrase, the darker the night, the brighter the star. It doesn't matter what the situation, it doesn't matter what the circumstance, but the question that we've got to ask is this: why are we here? Why are we here as a light to pierce the darkness? We are a shining star, no matter who we are. Shining bright to see so that we can truly be. Be what? God has created each and every one of us for purpose and destiny. There is not a oops in this place. There's not a burp in this place. There's not a oop unclaimed freight in this place. Every one of you here tonight, you are a shine to be, you are a star to be shown to everybody that you come in contact with. Every single one. There isn't anyone in this building here today that's insignificant. There isn't anybody here that's just a nobody. Darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ in your life. Darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ in your life. John 1:5 says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I love that. Satan can't relate to you, period. He can't. The love of Christ, the light of the world, the light of the Lord is shining inside of you. He can't connect with that. He can't relate to that. Comprehendeth is this Greek word, katalambano. Love this. Kata carries the force of something that is dominating or subjecting or subjugating. Lambano means to seize or grab a hold of. So when you put this whole thing together, it means to seize or grab a hold of. Together means to seize, to pull down, to tackle, to conquer, or to hold under one's power. I love that, don't you? Therefore, the verse could be translated. I don't know if we have it up there. It could be translated this, thanks. Darkness does not have the ability to suppress or to hold the light under its domain. Darkness can't hold you back. It can't. There's no way that it can hold you back. The darker the night, the brighter the star. There comes a time when you feel like you're living in the shadow of another star. There comes a time when you feel like you're not measuring up. And one of the hardest things to do in all of life is to live in the shadow of another person. We see all this stuff happen. I'm going to put these notes on the website later on. But we're thinking about Rachel, and we're thinking about the situation with her life in verse 16 and 18. It says, Laban had these two daughters, and Rachel was stunning and beautiful, and she was always, you know, the others were always living in the shadow of the one. Brighter stars can sometimes be very painful because not only do we have to live in their glow, but they want us to be reminded of it all the time. Maybe you have a brother and a sister that was like that. Maybe it was Joseph in front of all of his brothers. Hey, look at my coat. It's brighter than your coat, Jack. I got more colors than you. My ball's bigger than you. Maybe you got these people that are around you all the time. And they're dogging you and they're ragging you and they're getting you in your face. They're saying, hey, I make more money than you. I live in this kind of house. And you feel insignificant. You feel useless at times. But I love this whole thing. I'm just going to wrap this up with this. Get here on time. Don't want to hold you too late. The darkness cannot outshine the creation. When I was thinking about this week, I can find where I want to go. Well, there it is. That when God created the sun, he also created the moon. One gave light in the darkness. One gave light in the day. Both have equal significance. One is hotter. One looks a little colder. But the fact is that we can't function without either one of them. You ask any, where do you go? You ask any sailor. You know, they're going to look at the northern star for guidance on their compass. The moon brings light to the darkness in the midst of an ocean. And yet the sun brings heat to all of us. Just because clouds are there does not mean that the sun goes away. Just because you're in the midst of a dark storm, it doesn't mean that the sun decided to just turn itself off. Just because you were in the midst of some stuff, some of you might be in the midst of some stuff, all you ever feel is that darkness is around you. Feels like you moved to Ireland or something. It just rains all the time. The good news about it is that the sun is always going to burn off these clouds. I love that song years ago. The sun will shine again. The sun will shine again. You made me feel here today that it's just hopeless and it's useless. But you are a shining star. And God has purpose. He really does. Don't let anybody ever come up to you and tell you that you're just a bee. You're a serious bee. You're behind somebody else. Even serious B has a purpose. You know what that purpose was? To let everybody remind them of serious A. Serious B had to be a servant to serious A.